Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, I have the privilege to bring the Word of God tonight, and I am opening up the Scripture, and I'll just launch into the title. And really the title is How to Succeed in Life. How to Succeed in Life. You know, 4 years ago, this weekend, I was on this podium, and they were praying for me, and if I could have that picture, there's Pastor Jim, Pastor Deborah, Pastor Dan. 4 years ago on this podium, I was experiencing a death notice, and the church was crying out on my behalf. And they were laying hands on me, and they were declaring faith, because I said, I don't need your sympathy, I need your faith. And I declared that in the church, I declared that online, and I said, watch out, devil, because I'm coming back healed. That's what I said. We declared it. And I remember God whispering in my ear this scripture, because I went into the hospital shortly after, and I had a month stay, and I had a seven-month hiatus from this place, and the Lord downloaded this scripture to me, and he said, I cry out to God to protect me. I trust you, the Lord said. You are my Lord, and every good thing comes from you, Psalm 16. I hung on to that scripture, and I declared that my body would be protected and healed. And 4 years ago this weekend, I am healed supernaturally. So why would I use this story? Because I really believe God healed me to make me a success story for him. How do you be successful in life is where what I want to talk about. You know, there's a lot of information on how to be successful. Successful in your business, successful relationships, successful how to do money. Vast amounts of information. You could spend hours on end with people's advice of how to be successful. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about how to be successful in the Lord. How do you have God make you a living, successful testimony so he can get all the praise and all the glory? You know, I'm going to take more of a general approach to the success, and I'm going to launch on what the Bible calls success. And for us to be successful, number one, in life, we need to be rooted in the house of God. Yeah. Rooted in the house of God. What does that mean, Pastor? You know, a tree, when it takes deep roots, it could weather any storm. You know, Dolly Parton said this, the great theologian, said, storms make trees take deep roots. So when the storms of life come, trees dig right in and they put their roots deep in the ground and they're stabilized. So a healthy tree has deep roots. Same, like if you want to be successful in anything you do, you need to be planted in the house of Almighty God. I have seen, my lens has seen throughout the years, remember I've been brought up in church, throughout my lifetime, I've seen those that have been planted and rooted in God have been stable, have been healthy, have lasted the test and the trials of life. As a matter of fact, Psalms 92 says this, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. If you're planted, you will be flourishing in the Lord. Now, the enemy will try to get you away from the house of God. He'll try to distract you from the house of God. But let me tell you, for you to be a success story in him, you need to grow deep roots in this house. Deep roots. I mean, we were recalling how when we first came to the Rock, our youngest was 2 years old. And she went to every camp, children's ministry, youth ministry, all the way up. All she knows, my daughter Geneva, all she knows is the Rock. And if you talk to her, all she talks about is the rock, because she's been planted and rooted in a good house, around good children's pastors, around good youth pastors, around the Word of God that's been time and time proven, tested, faithful in this house. We have not unfocused our efforts on anything political, on anything that doesn't matter. It's been super laser focused on gospel messages that continue to grow people and make people healthy. This is the house of the Lord. This is the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Pastor Dan and Jessica, our lead pastors, have made that decision to continue what was birthed here long ago, to create an environment of healthy, biblical teaching from this pulpit. If you come to the Rock and you open up your Bible, you're going to hear from the Bible, thus saith the Lord. You are not going to hear our opinions. You're not going to hear what people are saying. You're not going to hear a TikTok message. You're not going to hear an Instagram post. What you're going to hear is, thus saith the Lord. And what I'm saying, what this pastor is saying, if you want to be successful, you need to be planted in the house of God. You need to do everything that it takes to take deep roots. Your family needs to take deep roots in this house. Why do I say that? Because that's where success comes from. That's where the house is now, does its best work. The meaning of the word planted conveys a flourishing court of our God. The idea of spiritual growth, stability, devotion to God and others. The imageries of trees being planted, and we have them all over the courtyard, and they flourish here at the Rock. Our faith is stable. Our relationships are stable. We are leading the charge of creating stable people in the house of the Lord. This is this house. You can't go to children's ministry without hearing the Bible. You can't go to youth ministry without hearing the Bible. You can't come to main campus, the Spanish service, without hearing the Bible. The Bible will keep you healthy and growing and flourishing in the house of God. And if you're not used to that, get used to that. You know, I jokingly did. I was born under the pew. And one day, you know, my parents left me and they closed the church. And they forgot. And that has happened many times to preacher's kids like us. Because all I knew was the house of God. Now being 60, turning 60 just recently, and have a lens looking back, I tell myself every day, thank you, Lord, that I had godly parents that rooted me in your word and in the house, because now I can be stable and flourish and grow deep roots with my family. And those families can flourish. Every time the children of Israel was tested, they were challenged with make God first, make God center, worship Him and Him alone, get rid of idols, and be laser focused and be godly. And that mission continues in this house of God. What we want from all of you coming, whether online, get here, on campus, because on campus is where you build relationships, point number two. Being rooted in the house of God is number two. You stay connected to godly people, not foolish people, not people that give you wisdoms and insight of other worldly ideas. Godly people that are healthy people, godly people that are intentional people, people that want to help you and train you into the ways of God. That's where the Bible says iron sharpens iron. When you come into a healthy community, you see believers helping other believers out in the Word of God. When God does this to individuals, He's not just creating an individual that's healthy. He's creating a community that's healthy. A community that is after other community and helping other people do what God's called them to do in life. And that's why Hebrews says, do not consider or forsake in order to stir up the works of God. Verse 24, let's start there. Let us consider one another in order to stir up the love and the works of God. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews states that we need to encourage each other, not forsaking the assembly. That means don't stop coming to church. Don't forsake it. Don't neglect it. I could understand workload. I could understand family. I laugh because me and my wife raised five children. I was running a business and volunteering, and we would show up early. Five children. Some of you have one. Some of you have two, and you can't get to church. I don't understand how that happens. I'm not putting guilt on you. I'm saying that was our lens, because he was my wife's lens. I got to prepare all the kids in Saturday night to get ready for Sunday. And then we got to put them to bed early, especially our oldest son, Jacob. We got to put them to bed early to get them ready to go to the house of God, because I'm checking into children's ministry and they're going to have my cart ready. And if I'm late, I'm going to hear it. So I'm not going to be a late volunteer. I'm going to drag all my children to church, and I'm going to be ready, laser focused, to minister the word of God to all these God's little people. Well, if we can do that, you can do it. It's a matter of discipline. It's a matter of not forsaking. It's not a matter of making excuses. And I get it. I get life is hard, and I get it's complex, and I get reasons of why. But the Bible emphasizes you don't forsake it. You don't stop forsaking it. Don't do it. And it says this, as we see the day approaching. Guess what? Jesus is coming soon. As he gets closer, we got to come. As he gets closer, we got to invest. As he gets closer, we can't forsake the assembly of one another. Why? Because that's where the encouragement is. Not turning on the television and the news and all the stuff that just makes you sick to your stomach. Being around people of faith, encouraging you and saying, wow, how's your family? How's your business? Let me pray for you. Can I challenge you and pray for you? Can I lay hands on you? That's what the house of God does. This beautiful community here at Call the Rock, it's ironing, sharpening iron. You guys have different stories and different journeys, and I love when I'm at a table, I'm hearing all your lovely, amazing lives developing with one another. That's what God wants us to do. Why? Here's the big why. Because Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore, we are no longer strangers or foreigners. We are fellow citizens, and we are saints and members of the house of God. We're members of the house of God. It's kingdom business. God is about relationships. Relationship with him and relationship with each other. That's why we do discipleship here at the Rock. Well, that's why we do intense discipleship at the Rock, because we believe in godly relationships. That's why we do small groups, because we believe in godly relationships. You cannot walk alone in this world. You can't say, well, just me and my Bible, I'm going to go to the mountains and disappear. The enemy's going to pick you off at the mountaintop. You need to be amongst community, as hard as that is for some of you. Now, you know, some of you see me as a public figure. I'm actually a very private guy. If I see you at the store, I'm running from you and ducking. I'm incognito. The other day, I had my glasses and dark glasses, and I walked into a store, and I heard somebody say, hey, Pastor Joel. I'm like, gosh, I can't even hide. Somebody said this, if you're not, you don't think so, tell my wife. She's like, why do you want to come so early? It's only 7 o'clock because no one's here. Somebody said this, a real friend walks in when the rest of the world walks out. For not forsaking the house of God means that we find friendship, godly relationship. There was a confession of a great man of God with a large church, large extension campuses all over. And one of the fellow members told me this. He said, you know, our main pastor got up and told everybody something, and it just kind of blew their mind. This is a pastor that's been around 30 years, and he's ministered thousands of people, went all over the world. He said, I need to confess to my congregation that I have no friends. Not one. And it shocked their whole church, because friendship is hard. And I'm not saying to have a lot of friends, but you need a faithful few. That when you're battling cancer like I was, I knew Pastor Jim and Deborah were behind me. I know Pastor Dan and all the pastoral staff were behind me. I knew all the SBTs and all the Breaking Free leaders were behind me. I was getting texts as well. I was getting transplanted all over the world. My keys from the Philippines. I'm with you, brother. I love you, man. I was getting that because I've invested in friends, and I believe friends are godly, and I need them. I can't be without them. Now, I'm not saying to make friends with all the whole world, including the devil. But I am saying to make friends, godly friends, is a godly thing to do. That's what Paul taught. That's what will sustain you in times of trouble. If you want to be God's success story, then you need to be having friends. Here's what the Bible says about friends. Check it out. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 18:24, New King James. A man who has friends, he himself is friendly. But there is a friend who is closer sticks closer than a brother. So if the Bible clearly teaches that if you want to have friends, then you need to be friendly. If you're grouchy, you're not going to have too many friends. If you're full of drama, you're not going to have too many friends. They're going to run from you instead of to you. You need to be loving, forgiving, nice, and kind. And kindness will breed friendship. You need to look at others' interests, not only yourself. That's what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, it says this in James 5:16, if you confess your sins one to another and pray for one another, you will be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Healing comes in community of faith. Healing comes in community of confession. Healing comes in community of friendship. Hey, I'm not doing well. Will you pray for me? My family is falling off the rails. Will you pray for me? I need you. I need a prayer meeting, friend. I need you to sit down and infuse me and encourage me with the Bible. Can you come over? I'll make coffee. Can we go to a park? And can I tell you where I'm hurting so you can help me? Or can I help you? Can I be there for you? What do you need from me? I want to be a friend. So I got to make myself friendly. I got to look for opportunities for friendship. Not Instagram friends, not social media friends. Those aren't friends at all. That's a public post that everybody could say that they're friend. I'm saying what I said, quoted earlier, when everything falls apart, man, and people walk away, their true friends walk to you. And I have found the best friends here at The Rock. As a matter of fact, I will make this statement. Some of my best friends here at The Rock has been closer than my own family members. Why? Because that's the house of God. That's the community of God. You need to invest in friendship. You need to plug in to our ministries that have, that's why we have so many services. That's why we do so much things for you. Because we want you to be in community. And when you're in community, you have conversation, you let down the walls, you smile, you laugh, and you go do fun stuff. That's friendship. That's what God wants for you to be God's success story. And you need to stay with godly people. There's enough said about the ungodly. Please stay away from the ungodly. If they're not opening up the Bible, the Word of God's not coming out, they're not running to church, they're running away from church, stay away. You don't need that kind of advice. I don't care how nice they are to you. Matter of fact, you flipped the switch. I said, look, hey, you want to find some friends, neighbor? Come to my church. There's a lot of friends. We could meet friends. Bring them to the house of God. To be successful in life, point number three, let God fight your battles. Let God fight for you. Let God intervene. Let God show off in your behalf. He wants to. God wants to show up and show you how beautiful and amazing and powerful he is, if you let him. Don't fight this battle alone. Don't suffer in silence. Cry out to God and tell him, God, I need things. I need you. I need you to show up on my behalf. Will you fight this battle for me? Like when I stood on that stage 4 years ago, that's what I was crying out to God. You're the one that is going to win the battle in my body. In you I trust. In you I trust. Fight the battle on my behalf. Not the city of hope. Not the treatment. Not getting rid of these things. No, you do it, God. I need you to fight my battle. I need you to show up to defeat the enemy. At all costs, I need to let my guard down. I'm not telling you to entertain guilt and shame. I'm telling you to resist the lies of the devil, because he wants to say that your God is not powerful and your God is not enough. And I'm here to say he is and he will be. He's bigger than you know. Let him shine on anything that you give him, and he will show up on your behalf, and he will blow your mind in how much he wants to take care of you, how much he loves you, how much he wants to wrap his arms around you and say, you are my daughter, you are my child, come on, let me embrace you, and let me get rid of this thing that you cannot carry, this burden that's too hard for you, but not hard for me. Walk into my rest. Walk into my word. Gear up your loins and watch me work, my child. Will you let him? It takes faith to do that. Not to argue with your case. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? He might just thump you in the head. That's where I am. Ephesians, Exodus 14:14 says this, and the Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is only to be silent. This verse encourages believers to trust in the power of Almighty God and trust that his peace will rest upon you when anxiety wants to set in, when you want to emotionally freak out and check out. God's power will rest on you because he will fight for you. Chronicles says this, You need not to fight this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position. See the Lord's victory. God highlights his sovereignty and his ability to deliver his people. And I'm walking proof of it. You know, everybody tells me, well, yeah, you got healed of cancer. Yeah, you got healed of cancer. Who does that? Miracles aren't cheap. And I know the gift I've been given. And I don't take it for granted, nothing. And if I would have died, I would have been in eternity. And I knew that. But God gave me a gift of life, and I'm going to use it. And I promised in that transplant bed, God, if you wake me up from this sick body, I will tell everybody about your healing power. I will not shut up, because the devil can't shut me up. I have a loud voice, and I will use it. Even though I don't want to see people at the store. I'm not a wimp. Matter of fact, God showed me how to be bold and fearless. That's why Peter says this. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Alert means that you're at clear-minded. You're looking for the devil. You're looking for entryways. You're looking how he's working so you could take him out. You're prayer focused. You're faith filled. You're saying, nah, you're not going through that door. I know you're a sly fox. and I'm looking for you. No, I shut that door. I put up those boundaries. I am not going there. I heard the doctor's report. I am not going to listen to it. Okay, yeah, you're smarter than me, I told Dr. Chai. You have, you know, degrees all over the wall, but I have a God that's smarter than you, Dr. Chai. He said, what? That doctor actually knows how I'm wired because he invented my body. All you can do is test and examine. He knows how to create. That's our God. He knows how to create things out of nothing. He knows how to invent things. He knows how to control things. He knows how to put the enemy to flight. He knows how to kick the devil's butt. He knows how to get faith in you to where you won't back down. Where you become faith-filled and you wake up and say, I might not feel good, but tomorrow is going to be better. And you're healing my body. You're healing my family. You're healing my addiction. You're healing my drug addiction. You're healing everything inside of me. That's my God. When you wake up faith-filled, that's the devil trying to pick on you and his goofy, stupid little lies. I like what Luther said, the great German theologian that launched the Reformation. He said, remember, the devil's God's devil. Remember, the devil's God's devil. What does he mean that by that? That there is something higher and greater than the devil and evil, and that is the holiness of God, is why we were at this altar, thanking Jesus Christ for all the good things he's given us. Not man, him. Not us, not our mind, not our intellect, not our will, not our emotion. I didn't get healed from cancer because I was a nice guy. I got healed from cancer because he was a great, holy God. That's why I got healed from cancer. When I was down, he stepped up and he said, attaboy. And I remember Pastor Jim tapping me on the shoulder and said, you're going to be fine. And I said, okay. Pastor Jim, Pastor Dan and Jessica, we got your back. We're here for you. What do you need? And most of you don't know this, and I'm going to reveal it to some of you online or on this campus. He said, don't worry about nothing. This is how faith-filled and great our pastors are. He said, take a break. I don't care how long it is. We'll pay your salary. We'll pay Joanna's salary as you recover. We got your back. That's a friend closer than a brother. And this pastor is, yes, give him a hand for their obedience. They didn't have to do it. Why would they do that? Because they love God and they love God's people. And they have seen our investment. And every investment has a return, especially in God. You got to build this kind of faith or else you're not going to make it. I believe every one of you is God's success story. I believe you're a walking billboard for him, but some of you don't believe it. Some of you have limited God's ability to work on your behalf because all you see is your negative narrative and your space that you're around. All you've heard the voices in your head that say no. All you hear is the enemy picking on you and you're not going to make it and you're a punk and you're a hypocrite and you're a liar and you're a loser. And that's all the noise from hell. You need to muster faith to say, you know what, I'm going to put earmuffs on. I'm going to put spiritual earmuffs on and I'm going to listen to music, and I'm going to listen to godly music and faith-filled words, and I'm going to listen to scripture, and I'm going to resist him, and I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to keep God's promise. How then will we be successful in life? By being rooted in the house of God. By being staying connected to godly people, lovely people. You know, I did something at a birthday party the other day to a friend of ours. She said, all I want is to be around you guys. So we, you know, brought some food and a cake, and I went around my family, and I started to say to this individual, hey, let's bless you today. Let me bless you today. And I just started speaking life and good things of what she meant to God, to our church, and to our family, and how beautiful or amazing her gifts were. And I went through family member to family member, and all we were doing is loving her with kind words and generosity and faith-filled expectation. She said to my wife after that, this is the best birthday I've ever had. Because we believe in family. And we believe in you. God is not finished with us. Our best days are ahead of us. There's more for this church. There's coming a day, no matter what day it is, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday, that we'll look around and there'll be so much people here that I don't know how God got them here, because it won't be our billboard. It'd be the supernatural work of God, because I believe revival is hitting the rock of God. He's laid a foundation, a good one. And you're going to be it. You're going to be on the billboard. You're walking testimonies of God's goodness and righteousness and what he's done through you and what he's done to you. You're going to tell people how good God is. And people are going to be attracted to it. They're going to get saved and healed and delivered. And I confess over everybody here online, as soon as you open up your mouth, God will use it. You be God's success story. Because he loves you and you're absolutely amazing and wonderful. And I believe that. And this church believes that. And we have pastors that believe that. Our leaders believe that. That's why we invest in you. That's why we work hard in prayer and sacrifice and goodness and good works to help develop your faith. Because we see something that you don't. We declare over your families, your children's children is going to be blessed. We declare over your sick bodies, you're going to be healed. We declare over your own soul, you will be saved and you will be free, and not barely free, abundantly free in every way possible. You will be the success story of God. You will walk in his goodness, and all I ask for you is don't forget. Don't forget like the children of Israel did, where they neglected and they forgot. Don't do that. When God shows up on your behalf and makes you his success story, you owe him a lot. You owe his worship, you owe his time, and you owe his service, and don't forsake the house. Go find others that need to hear these messages. Go find others that need to get saved. Let's fill up these altars for God. Let's bring people from the north, south, east, and west. Let's get planted in this great house of God that he built by his Spirit. That no weapon formed against this house will prosper. There ain't nothing in this world that's going to knock this church down, because God built this church. And his roots are deep. Because his word is profound, and we have what it takes to be his success story. Did you get anything out of it today? Awesome. So here's a question I have to ask you. It's a commitment we made Jesus long ago, that as soon as we're up here in the pulpit, every time we're up, we're going to give people an opportunity to receive him. How do we do it? Well, we have to ask you some questions, because I don't know everybody, you, I don't know everybody online, I don't know everybody on campus, but God does. So here's a question. If something was to happen like it did this weekend in Texas, and all of a sudden something happened so catastrophic that you no longer have your life, My heart pains for all those children that were lost and every member and family member that was lost. But death is real. We have too many funerals here. I buried too many people that were young, healthy, and alive, and the following day they weren't. So we can't assume, and you can't assume, that you're all right with God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that assumption or thinking or managing your time and effort in a way where you can make your peace with God. That's what Hollywood believes. Hollywood believes that if you're a good person, if you contribute to society, if you're an investor in good works, that you're going to make it to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere, does it say that is the roadmap to salvation. I'm glad you help dig wells in Africa and put shoes on little kids' feet. I'm glad you invest in good works, but nowhere in the Bible say your works will take you to heaven. Well, Pastor, I have religious jewelry. I've been in religious systems. I was in catechism. I was baptized as a child. I wear religious jewelry and I have religious tattoos. Does that make me a Christian? Nowhere in the Bible does it say being religious makes you anything but religious. And matter of fact, Jesus confronted somebody in John chapter 6 where it was a man by the name of Nicodemus, where it was more religious, more better than you and me put together. And he confronted him with all his religiosity because this man, Nicodemus, was better than you, better than me, better than all of us put together. He sang the scripture, memorized the scripture. He was a leader in his temple. And Jesus challenged Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. A concept that was foreign to him, because remember, all he had was the mindset to be good and religious to get you to heaven. And Jesus did not fall for it. He commanded and demanded him to be born again. In the same way, I ask you this question, are you born again like Nicodemus? Nicodemus was profoundly confused and he said, I don't understand what that means. And Jesus says, well, Nicodemus, what's born of the spirit is spirit. What's born of the flesh is flesh. He was relating a birth of a child to a supernatural spiritual birth in him. And he challenged Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Like this pastor is challenging you online, challenging you and on campus, all over this community here. Are you born again? Are you headed for heaven? You can't take it for granted. You can't say, I got another day. I'm going to wait. Please don't wait. Life is too unexpected. I never knew, and I still don't know, why I got that bone cancer. They tested me, they poked me, they did genealogy tests on me, and they did all these tests. I had over 3,000 tests. They could not find why that was killing me. So I didn't want to know why, I just wanted to be healed. You can't debate it, you just need salvation. You need to give God all your heart and all your mind. You can't assume, you can't neglect, and you can't wait. I'm talking to people tonight that are waiting for the right opportunity. Don't wait for the right opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Today, God is asking you for your soul. Today, God is asking you to say, I'm in. I'm fully in. I want to be a success story like you talked about, Pastor. My life's a mess and I need some help. I'm so sick. I'm running down. My batteries are running out. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Then you need Jesus and you need salvation. Don't put it off. Don't assume. So what we do it here at The Rock is I'm going to count to three and I'm going to clap my hands. And when I count to three and clap my hands, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand all over campus online. All over campus. Raise your hand. One, two, three. Anybody here? Anybody here? Come, my brother, come. Anybody here? Anybody else? Come on, come on. I want everybody to stand with me. And I'm inviting all you that raise your hand to come right up here, like my brother. Come right here. Awesome. Come on, give him a hand. Come on. Anybody else? Anyone else? Right here, yeah. Right up here. Awesome. Welcome. Come on, come on. Anybody else?
To the altars, the Father's arms are open.
Anybody else?
But we, the precious blood of Jesus.
There are five more. Five of you out here. Five more. God just told on you. Five more. Come, don't wait. Please don't wait. You might not have another chance for this salvation. Come right now. Don't be apprehensive. Come right now. It's a safe place. Come, come. There's five more. Five more. Nudge your neighbor. Say, is that you? Is that you, Pastor, talking about you? Come. Come on. Come on. Don't hesitate. Salvation is yours. Salvation is at hand. Please don't neglect so great a salvation, the Bible says. Anybody else? Come on. I'm waiting for you, man. God's waiting for you. Come. Come on. If you need him, come. Promise not to judge you. We promise to love you to life. Come, come. Desperately, you're telling yourself, I wish this guy would just shut up. Well, I'm not. Because God wants you, and he wants all of you. And you're going to fail fast if you don't have him. And I don't want you to fail. This church don't want you to fail, and that's why we open up these altar calls for you. If you need God, you need to come. Quit judging him. I just heard it. Quit judging God. Quit putting me in a box. Get off that box and come to him. He's not in a box. He's greater than you. He has more for you, but you need to believe it. You need to come right here. Come. Come on. Come on. Here's what you said. I can't do this. And here's what God's saying. With me, you can. You just told God, you can't do this. And here's what God's saying. With me, you can. You're right, you can't. But with him, you can. Come. I don't know who you are. This is too hard, God. I'm going to be embarrassed. We promise not to embarrass you. It's a holy moment. All we can do is be obedient. If you need prayer, there's prayer teams up here after church. They'll pray with you. If you don't want to walk up here, that's fine. They'll pray with you right there. For the both of you that came, look up at me. Bravo. Good job. You're very special to God. And he has a major plan for your life. But it doesn't happen by just walking the altar. It happens by receiving and believing him as your Savior. What you're saying is, I'm done with me. I'm ready for you. I'm ready to be born again. So pray with me this prayer. Say, Father God, today's the day that I give you all my heart and all my life. I give it up. You own me. You possess me with your love and goodness. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and empower me to do what I can't do on my own. I repent from all that I've done wrong, and I ask you to come into my life. I walk this journey with you, my Lord. Take me by the hand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, here at The Rock, we believe in relationships. We believe in faithful friends. These faithful friends are going to walk you to the back, and here's what they're going to do. They're going to give you some information, and they're going to say this: welcome to the family. We're interested in you. We want to help you. We want to share the word of God with you, and we want to invest in you. This kind of church invests in people just like you. You're welcome to our church. These friends here, Matt, my friend, Kathy, and others, are going to walk you to the back. They got some information. They'll let you go, and then there's some festivities outside, okay? God bless you. Give them a hand. Awesome. Remember, be full-time ministers. Yap it up. God is good. Living testimonies for the whole world to see. Let's never get used to this, my friend. The well of salvation that is bubbling at The Rock will never run dry. Will never run dry, because the Holy Spirit is here. The Word of God is here to rescue people from all their brokenness and all their disastrous lives and heal them and give them salvation. And that's why you need to be the full-time minister. And you need to talk Jesus up. And if you do see me somewhere in the store, say hi to me, please. Let me pray for you. Thank you, church. Thank you for being generous to this church. Thank you for loving our pastors. Thank you for Pastor Dan. They celebrate their anniversary. Give them a hand. Tomorrow, yes. Awesome. Well done, Pastor Dan. Many more blessed years. Many more blessed years. Many more blessed years. Amen. Amen. Father God, we lift you up tonight, and we thank you, Lord. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. We're blessed coming, blessed going. Father God, what we touch, we will be your success story. We will shine the candle of the gospel bright for all men to see, and the glory of the Lord will rest on us and our children and our grandchildren, and we will give you mighty praise, and the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you. Good night.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers, to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.